Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Ducks.
Yeah, definitely a team that's capable.
Huskies.
Certainly excited about using this time to really make it a one-game season.
Isaac and Sue.
You will have to take the good and the bad with it, and we already have.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly, 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
You're top of your helmet every moment.
The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. A little Wednesday, a little pre-Thanksgiving funk.
There you go. By the way, Dylan Harper, the other Rutgers player, son of Ron Harper.
Is that Ron Harper's kid?
That is Ron Harper's
He's
kid.
He's really good.
Yes.
I was watching him the other night going, whoa, I didn't know they had another. I saw Rutgers was playing. I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
But then Ace Bailey, I'm like, oh, I'll watch this guy because he's supposed to be the number two pick. Mm. And that Harper kid stole the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Harper is 3 or 4 in pretty much every mock draft. Yes.
So how did Rutgers get two of the best players in?
There was actually an article in ESPN about that like a week or so ago.
Big NIL.
Well, and there's a family connection in the East Coast. And it was, look, at the end of the day, they paid a bunch of money for it. But, you know, that's everybody.
Got to do what you got to do.
But yeah, like in pretty much any mock draft, Flagg, Bailey, and Harper. And then there's usually like one other person thrown in there. Was it the kid out of Arkansas? Was it Boogie Flan or whatever is in there sometimes? But Harper and Bailey are widely considered top four prospects.
You know, it's just so interesting to me. And we'll get to the Thanksgiving football games coming up here. But I was watching Flagg, and you know, while he shows all kinds of signs of being, I mean, like you can see he's going to be special.
Yes.
But he's a baby.
Yeah.
And he's cookie dough soft.
Yeah.
But that's what you get with freshmen. It's so interesting to me. Like all the guys who get all the headlines in college basketball are the guys you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's so refreshing to me to watch college basketball. And it's a fun part of college basketball to watch the freshmen play and get their legs. But they look like baby deer out there.
Yeah.
And as a Kansas fan for so many years, I'm telling you, man, the one thing you can take to the bank is that the freshmen, the hyped freshmen, they're always going to disappoint you because they get way more hype than what they're willing or what they're capable of producing, at least in their first season. And sometimes it takes more than one season.
Sure.
But in this instance, these guys are so good, they're going to be gone. I think it's cool to watch, like, for example, Oregon. You mentioned every one of their players, with the exception of Shellstad, is a senior.
Yeah.
And you can see that when you watch them play. It's, they don't turn it over as much. They're, like I said, there's no baby deer out there. They don't clank as many shots. They're
Guys that play roles. Like Biddle's just a guy that's been there for 4 years, and he plays in the middle, and he's just
smart.
Yeah.
They just, and Kansas is this. Kansas has the most experienced team in the country, which is why last night, I mean, a big reason why they beat Duke, even though Duke is immensely talented, Kansas is the most experienced. Duke is the least experienced.
Yeah.
And it's just really, I was texting back and forth with our boss, Jeff Austin, because we're both get off my lawn college basketball guy.
Sure.
We remember the day. We're huge college basketball fans, or we're back in the day, and we just remember the days of guys staying for 4 years, and it's just a totally different game.
Yeah.
And so it's just cool to see some teams, because of transfers, you've got guys who are staying 3 and 4 years.
Just to different places.
They're just going to different schools, and it's actually really improving the sport, generally speaking, I think, because you pair those guys with guys like at Kansas or Oregon who stayed or who are sort of maturing, and now you have some pretty damn good teams that are pretty polished and well coached.
Well, I think enough people have figured out too that, you know, and this goes back to the rise of the mid majors, right? That a lot of those mid major schools had kids that stayed for 3 and 4 years, and they were knocking off the blue bloods.
And now those kids are all transferring.
Yes,
their last year. Yeah. They're going to the Kansases and the Oregons, and
so I don't know if it dilutes some of the mid major stuff, but it certainly adds a lot of pop when you look through the blue bloods. Now what you see is a lot of these kids that are transferred from smaller schools that are juniors and seniors, and I do think it's going to make the game better, and I also think a lot of them are going to stick around longer, much like they're doing in college football. And I don't know what the NBA equivalent of this is, but they said that the NBA draft has a 30% reduction, excuse me, the NFL draft, a 30% reduction since NIL in early, entries. So you're getting more kids that are sticking around, and I do think that despite some of the bumps along the road, college sports, I mean, look, basketball and football are going to benefit. The quality of play and the quality of teams is going to benefit from NIL.
Well, you're already seeing it. If you're watching some of these tournaments, you know,
it's good.
Listen, I'm the first to admit how bad college basketball has gotten, and it can be very hard to watch. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan, grew up a huge college basketball fan. I'm telling you, I've been watching this week, and it's a lot better play now than in years past. And so, I don't know, these tournaments are kind of weird. I don't know if you've been watching any. Maui wasn't, because Auburn just won the Maui Invitational. It was the typical bracket format. But this one that Oregon played in, there were like groups, and now they go home and play, I think, right? Yeah, like, because if they play Alabama Rutgers, I think that might be at...
In Eugene?
I don't know, because they're not going back to Vegas to play.
No, I don't think so.
So it's this weird thing where in Kansas, they only had a one-off. They played Duke, and now they're back home. So it's a weird thing. Usually you play 2 or 3 games in a row, 3 days in a row, but they've changed. I don't know. They've kind of switched up the formats all in this
year. It's weird, too, because some of these tournaments now, I mean, there's a couple million bucks on the line in these things. So, yeah, it's strange. Basketball's changing. Football's changing. But I do think in the long run, it's going to be better.
Well, I'll tell you this about Duke, man. Watch out for those dudes later in the year.
Yeah, as they get older, as they grow up.
Well, I just mean this because
that's what I'm saying.
Those guys are all leaving.
Well, but I'm saying when you look at a team that's full of young guys, by the time you get to the end of the season, they are no longer freshmen.
Yeah, Bill Self always says first semester. Yeah. Give them a semester, and then they settle in. And boy, I tell you what, the potential for Duke, the ceiling, baby.
Yeah.
That team could be nasty come March.
Yep. Because no one's, and it's the same thing in any sport. You get enough games under your belt. I always say in football, it's like 7. Basketball, like you said, give them 15 games in and you're not a freshman anymore. You lose the baby legs, and you kind of figure out what you're doing and things start slowing down. But I think it is true though. Not many times has the freshman really led. I mean, Carmelo had that.
That's one.
Kentucky, right? I think that Anthony Davis's freshman year, right? I think but for the most part, it is not freshmen that dominate the NCAA tournament. It's just not. Was it Brandon Miller that came out and absolutely flailed in the tourney? I mean, we see this a lot.
How's he doing in the NBA?
He had a nice rookie year, and honestly, I haven't paid much attention to Charlotte.
He's usually the second option scoring-wise for Charlotte, hitting Lonzo a lot of threes. If LaMelo's not on, it's him that's on.
Or not Lonzo, LaMelo
Ball. Whichever. Does it matter? They're all
Charlotte,
the same.
Who cares?
LaMelo Ball, if he was in a different market, dude, that dude is the real deal.
Hey, Blazers should get him.
He just is in Charlotte.
God, he did have a nice growth spurt from high school. Now 6'8". He's got that Magic Johnson-style body. Not as talented, but with that body, the ability to score a triple-double.
So. Yeah, someone's saying the Kansas center should be on Duke. That kid's a five-star douche canoe.
God, you ain't kidding.
And I will say this. As much as a Kansas honk as Rop is, Rop hates
I can't stand Dickinson. Him. Hunter Dickinson is the biggest freaking... Well, what's a word? What's a? He's just a. I can't stand him.
You're not a fan.
He is my least favorite Kansas Jayhawk. Second least favorite Kansas Jayhawk of all time.
And yet he's your best player.
Sort of. That's what you say. He is so soft. He is such a. Don't get me started on him. And by the way, that kick, he should not have been kicked out of the game.
That was not a vicious.
At the same time, I'm kind of glad he was, because he is a five star douche canoe, and he is. I had that same thought watching the game. I'm like. If he's on Kansas, so I have to root for him. He is such a Duke player.
Yeah.
That guy belongs on Duke. Why did he not transfer to Duke?
I don't know. Should have been there with who was the Duke kid last year that would that flopped during the
Piatkowski. Do you remember Eric Piatkowski? Do you remember that name?
Eric what?
See, sounds now, like it was like a bench warmer on one of my old basketball games, yeah.
So now I'm digging into my old Big 8 bag of tricks. Yeah. He used to play for Nebraska. He was a three-point sharpshooter for Nebraska. No. Played in the NBA.
Philipkowski was
yes,
the...
Yes, he did. You remember him? Remember this guy.
Yeah, Eric Piatkowski.
I don't remember that.
He was an assassin. Anyway.
Once you see his face.
Philipkowski was the douchey kid from Duke.
Yeah.
And if he paired with Dickinson, it could have been the douchiest white front line of all time.
They're the same guy.
Yeah.
But... Hunter Dickinson is our douche.
Yes.
So
you love him, kind
of. I mean, I love the team, okay? Right. My all-time favorite Kansas Jayhawk, and there have been a lot of them, is on this team.
Really?
Yeah. Dewan Harris.
I need to know who's your least favorite Kansas player of all
his,
time.
You're not going to remember him, or maybe this name. You'll be like, oh, my God, yeah. He was from sometime in the 90s. He was a center by the name of Eric Chenoweth.
I remember Chenoweth. He was your all-time least favorite
God,
Jayhawk?
Dude, I am telling you, every Kansas fan that watched that team back then hates him. He was awful and horrible and a douche and a jerk. And it was a love-hate relationship. It was bad.
I remember him.
So anyway, he was first. Hunter Dickinson is second. Mm. But the guy that I love...
So you hate tall white guys.
...is Dewan Harris. Yeah. Again, we don't need to get into it, but he's the point guard for Kansas, and he's an old-school floor general, man. Mm. He's great, and he's got a great story because he grew up... he had a rough life, and so he's the man. Well, Rock chalk. Number one in the country.
Got to nothing we wanted to, but I thoroughly enjoyed finding out how much you hate Eric Chenoweth.
Yeah, can't stand him. What's he doing now? I'm sure he's.
I'm
selling insurance.
I kind of want to get him on the. I kind of want to get him on the horn now and interview him.
Don't put him on.
He was a McDonald's All-American.
Do not make me call that guy. Please.
New York Knicks, second round pick.
Yeah, he played a little in the NBA, but he sucked there too.
7'1" white guy.
There's nothing more fun as a sports radio producer calling has-been athletes, reminding them of the time that they were glorious in their life, and now it's not happening.
He played for the Greenville Groove and the Huntsville Flight. Yeah, how about that?
Thanksgiving football. We got three games. Well, actually, we have four if you count Friday. We'll tee that up next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we'll get to Oregon, Washington, and the weekend that is in college football coming up next hour. Joey Harrington will be a part of our program today. Live at 5:30, but right now our NFL turkey baster got some news and notes and some games.
Yes.
A lot of you may be driving around right now with family, already annoyed.
Well, you do have the NFL tomorrow. I'm not going to say you have good NFL, But you have the NFL.
Yeah, you got three games tomorrow, one on Friday. 9:30 is the first kick between the Lions and Bears.
Look, the Bears are not good. Caleb Williams is interesting. And the Lions are the best team in football. And I don't know about you. Well, I mean, I like the Lions. I've made no secret about that. But that is the funnest team right now to watch. If I had to pick one team independent, you got to spin a wheel and you'll get the opponent. And I had to watch one team, I will pick Detroit.
Kind of like Baltimore.
Yeah. Baltimore's a little too, I mean, Baltimore's fun, but Baltimore is kind of chaotic. You don't know what you're going to get. Detroit has just been rock solid all year. I love the way they play defense. They're so well coached. There's a toughness to them. I love the versatility that they bring. They're exciting and they're aggressive. That to me will be one that I will tune in for. I'll be interested to see what Caleb Williams does against that Lions defense, which is really good. And I just like watching the Lions. That's, other than that, there's not a ton to like, although the Dolphins pack.
Well, hold on. So 9:30 is Bears Lions.
Yes.
And we always get Detroit on Thanksgiving. Now that they're good. So I would bring to the table the idea that we should finally punt on Detroit and Dallas. Always playing on Thanksgiving.
Except the Lions are good now.
Because it's like the league should flex. I know they have to give, like, I think it's 30 day or 3 weeks notice for to Thursdays. Flex games to Thursdays.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like that window doesn't open for another week or two. It's only like the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. But they should be able to flex games to Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because they have they got to have the most captive audience, right?
100%.
On that day?
That and Christmas Day, yeah.
So why do we keep getting crappy at, and again, it's not, Detroit's not crappy anymore, no. So that's good. But the Bears are, so it's, again, they just flip-flop. It's another crappy-ass game. And then we get the stupid Cowboys against the Giants. Could you think of a worse game for us tomorrow?
No.
And that one's at 1,
I think. Honestly don't know if you could pick a worse game.
You couldn't.
No. And we don't even know.
Even if you put the Panthers in the game, I'd rather watch that.
Well, yeah, because Bryce Young actually looks halfway decent now, and that's something. We don't even know if Tommy Cutlets is going to go. He's a game time.
No, he's out.
Says doubtful.
Yeah, they doubtful? Said Drew Lock, which is probably better for the game.
Hey, what about Tommy Cutlets? Yeah, Cooper Rush versus Drew Lock or Tommy Cutlets? God.
1:30.
By the way, then, I looked up last year for Thanksgiving. So we had Commanders, Dallas, San Francisco, and Seattle. And
that's good.
Do you know what the average viewer of those combined games was?
I'm going to say we're in the 30 million range.
34 million.
Yeah.
That was the average. Yeah.
And the Super Bowl gets like 55 or something?
Oh, the Super Bowl gets like 100.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a whole other.
Like a third of the country. Yeah,
it's a whole other thing. But 34 million people tuned in on average to watch Thanksgiving football. Although and
they give us Giants Cowboys.
And they give us Giants Cowboys. Last year we had Commanders Dallas, which was just as crappy, although
that
like
is so
Dallas was good last year.
Come on, league.
Yeah.
Figure your ass out.
I mean, Dallas though, I mean, normally Dallas is that's a marquee thing. It's just that you should have known better
to put
the Giants in there.
And then so those two games, so the first two games, and then the Thursday night game, well, tomorrow night, 5:20 NBC Dolphins Packers. That's pretty interesting because you've got the whole, Miami's played a lot better.
Yes, Miami's played a ton better.
And Tua got his teeth fixed, so he's got the veneers now, so he looks great.
Well,
and he's taking those shiny whites into Green Bay, where he is 0-7 when the temperature is under 40, and they're expecting it to be in the high 20s, low 30s.
But not snow, right? Clear?
No, they said not much of a chance for snow. The snow game is actually going to be in Buffalo. Did you read the weather?
Is it coming bad?
Buffalo, San Francisco is going to be a mess.
Oh, boy.
Or at least could be.
The San Franciscos are a mess. Did you also see that Fred Warner is playing through a fractured ankle?
Did you say the San Franciscos are a mess?
Yes, they are. That whole thing. It's a
mess. Yeah, well, they've got... So, Purdy is probably back?
We think so, yes.
Okay, that's good. They need that.
We don't know what condition he's going to be in.
We don't know.
Haven't seen Bosa. And Warner is going to play. I mean, he is going to play, but he came out today and said that he's been playing through a fractured ankle.
Yeah.
And that shocks me. My sophomore year, I played the last month of the season with a fractured ankle as a fat left guard. And I don't know how you do that as a linebacker. That was one of the more challenging and awful things I've ever done. And you just, as an alignment, you just put an ungodly amount of tape on it. They numb it up before every game. And then you kind of just, you hobble around, you know, you work some cut blocks and you know, it's like, no, you know, you're not pulling. So the fact that Fred Warner is playing at a Pro Bowl level, not quite all pro like he's been, you know, he's the best linebacker in football. That is one of the more amazing things that I can recall, is Fred Warner playing at this level with a fractured ankle. And he goes, dude, I don't care. He goes, I'm going to keep playing, even though their season is kind of over. But this,
I don't think it is. I know they don't look good. They're not. They just need to get help. This is what I'm saying. This is why I'm going through the injuries. Because Drake Greenlaw, they said, he's practicing. Back.
Well, so he's practicing.
Right. But he's a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
That's huge. If Warner can stay out there, if Bosa can come back, if Purdy has to play.
Yeah.
And I think Kittle is back in there, right?
I believe so, yes.
So that gives them a chance anyway to get things right, because you know they're well coached. You know they have good players. It's just they can't. They've just been too beat up, and it's been discombobulated, and it's just been a mess. Yeah. And last week they had no chance because they had Brandon Allen at quarterback. So if they go to Buffalo and they get all those guys, and I don't know if they will, but it's still going to be crappy weather, which I don't know if that's good or bad for them. Probably bad. Sometimes that levels the playing field.
I know.
Cleveland beat Pittsburgh in crappy weather.
I expect them to get drilled by Buffalo. That takes them to 5-7. I mean, they're not going to make it as a wild card team. There's too many good teams. You're going to get two from the East. You're going to get probably three from the NFC North. I just don't see a path unless they win the division, and there is nothing about
game
back.
But they're only one game back.
They're
in the
about
division.
To be two, though, because Buffalo's going to drill them. Although, but back
I don't
to my
know
point,
about that.
The team that if you, and this is crazy, but if you said right now which is going to make the playoffs, the San Francisco 49ers at 5-6 or the Miami Dolphins at 5-6, I'll take the Dolphins. I'll take the Dolphins.
I'd have to look at the skids.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. I was taking a look at this earlier this week. This is what Miami has left. So they got the Packers,
they're not going to win in the cold.
It's a big game. Big game. Then you got the Jets. You got the Texans, who have serious problems going on in Houston. And then you got the Niners.
Ooh.
And then the Browns and the Jets.
Where's the Niner game?
It's at home.
Because that could be the deciding game in your question right there.
Yeah. I think Miami, the way they're playing, and this one against Green Bay, remember last week I said there were some pivot games, Seattle and San Francisco. This one is a big one for me with the Dolphins because they have looked really good. This is my caveat. They beat the Rams, the Raiders, and the Patriots, right? Like, that's not anything to hang your hat on, but they damn near beat Buffalo. Remember, Buffalo was 30-27. So we've seen them trending in the right direction. They've won three games against lesser competition. And if they can go into Green Bay and get this win, and Green Bay is good. Green Bay is not great. Jordan Love is having a CJ Stroud-like year where they're taking a huge step backward in his progression. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league against pressure. So if they can get this one, if Miami gets this game and they go to 6-6, Miami will be in the playoffs. And that is shocking to me with where they're at.
I don't know, man. I feel like, so you read those last six games. Three of those are on the road in cold weather, and that is bad for Miami.
Yeah, it hasn't been good.
And then one of them, so I'm going to make them prove it. I mean, I don't know if Green Bay, I don't know who went. Put it this way, you actually have a decent, compelling matchup tomorrow.
Yeah.
Miami, Green Bay. I'd be inclined to take Green Bay, but because the Dolphins just don't win in weather like that. Yeah. But maybe they do. Maybe they get that monkey off their back.
But this is the 49ers. So the 49ers are at Buffalo. And look, Buffalo's as good as anyone in the league. You're telling me that the Niners are going on the road at Buffalo? I don't buy it for one second. And then you get the Bears and the Rams. You know.
Should be wins.
At Miami.
If you're going to get the playoffs, you have to win those.
You have to beat the Rams. And then at the Dolphins, which is that could be a huge turning point game. And then you got to play the Lions.
Ooh.
And then you finish up with the Cards. And that Cardinals game, I mean, that could be.
Where's that?
That's in Arizona.
Okay.
So I just think they have to win the division. I don't think they'll get in as a wild card.
Well, I get that. I mean, they're 5-6. They've put themselves behind the eight ball. And again, if they don't get healthy, they're just forget about them.
Yeah.
But they've got guys right on the fringe of coming back. And if they do, it's right about that time where teams do kick it into gear. And my God, is there one team that you could say is like has one of the higher ceilings for being able to do that?
Yeah.
it would be San Francisco.
I've said this. If you write off San Francisco, you're doing it at your own peril, because we've written them off plenty of times and they find a way. I don't know. I just, this year,
they don't look good.
They just, there's something.
Even healthy, they don't.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I just think this version of it, with no Ayuk, Trent Williams is a year older. McCaffrey doesn't look the same since the injury. Debo looks old and slow. I don't know. I don't love it. I was really hoping to see some creative stuff, and maybe Shanahan was so limited with what he had to work with, but they just looked so bad last week. And maybe Purdy coming back, but it's still not going to be 100% Purdy. I feel like this is a lost season for San Francisco.
So then Friday, we have Raiders Chiefs.
Ugh. I just was, you know.
Raiders Chiefs.
Yeah. And so
in Kansas City.
No Gardner Minshew. So O'Connell's dealing with a hand, and he says he can't really grip the ball, but he thinks he can grip it enough to play. So that should go great against the Kansas City.
What
offense.
Are we doing?
They rise up against the Chiefs, though.
Yeah, they beat them.
Have you noticed that?
They beat them last year, right? I think they beat them on Christmas.
And they almost beat them earlier this year.
Well, and
Chiefs are playing with their food again.
Absolutely. So watch this end up being, Carolina took them to the wire. Carolina had it within a field goal.
Yeah, the Chiefs are funny like that. They go through these stretches where they're just like, we'll screw around, win by three.
I think they've had now, what is it? They tied New England. I believe it's either 13 or 15. I forget the number. How about we split the difference and just say 14? It's between 13 and 14. And it's an NFL record tied with some of those Brady Patriot teams. The 13 or 14 straight one possession games where the Chiefs have won. And I always say, when you're winning or losing close games, they will eventually regress back to the mean.
The Seattle Mariners of the NFL.
But I don't know if you can say that with Kansas City, because they're,
I don't know.
They're 99 times out of 100, you're right to say that. But with Kansas City and like that New England team, they may just be the one where
some teams just win,
and it's championship metal, and they have the best third down quarterback of all time. And that may be enough. It's just like you keep waiting for it to bite them in the ass, and it really doesn't. And maybe they're just that good.
I could see them winning this game. I could see them losing this game.
One other NFL note before we move on to ITN. Daniel Jones has a new home.
Yeah.
Today.
With a situation. He did pick a good one.
Yeah.
He ended up in Minnesota, if you didn't see. And I think when you look at what Kevin O'Connell has proven over these last few years.
Here's the situation.
He's a top three offensive play caller. He's a top three quarterback developer. And, you know, if you're Daniel Jones, find a way to suckle at that teat, not just for the rest of this year, find a way to stick around. Because if there's someone that's going to resurrect that horse crap career, it's that guy in Minnesota.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying he's going to start on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Which means that he could go somewhere else. Somebody else could sign him off of that practice squad, which is probably why they did that. But, it's interesting if Darnold got hurt and Jones went in there. I mean, I don't know how much I'm docking the Vikings. I think they're the same kind of the same team.
Yes, and remember the Kevin O'Connell, he got a front row seat. The reason why Dan Jones got paid is the one playoff game against Minnesota where Daniel Jones went off.
It was
his one good game that he's ever had.
They won in Minnesota.
So maybe O'Connell's looking at that being like, well, I mean, God, if I can recreate that.
Is Kevin O'Connell the one guy that thinks Daniel Jones is good?
It's possible.
Ooh, his diamond in the rough. Love that. Now, I do wonder if Daniel Jones is better served like going to the practice squad in Minnesota or just starting off like on the Vegas squad and he's gonna start, you know, like, because if they had him, he'd be on the field.
He said he doesn't want to.
Yes, if he is smart, he will do whatever he can to stay in Minnesota.
He's not dumb.
He said he wanted
to go to a winner, and Minnesota is this is a way better path for him.
Yes,
and I do think it's smart to start on the practice squad, which they're only paying him $375,000.
Yeah, he's already got his money.
This is no sweat. It's not about money for him. It's no sweat off Minnesota's back, but he can also sit on the practice squad and then get picked off by another team should another team have a quarterback go down. So he's in it. That's a perfect spot for Daniel Jones, I would think.
Yes.
Raiders. He's just going to go get his ass kicked like he did in New York.
Yeah, and it's not going to work.
And he'll put up more bad numbers.
It's like when Baker went to Carolina and he realized, don't do that. Go to a place that you can play in a good system. I'm hoping more and more quarterbacks realize that from the Geno Smiths to the Baker Mayfields to the Sam Darnolds, if your career isn't working out, stop trying to chase, no offense to like Marcus, stop trying to chase starting jobs, because the only starting job you're getting is at a garbage ass place, which is why you're in position to start. Go sit, learn, develop, get your opportunity with injury, or get your opportunity at a free agency somewhere down the road, like Sam Darnold in Minnesota, who's getting a bridge quarterback. McCarthy goes down, and Sam Darnold may have resurrected his career and got himself a nice little payday based off of this. He's not a franchise guy, but I think Sam Darnold has changed a lot of opinions on who he is.
All right, happy Thanksgiving football viewing. There you go. There's the slate. And if you fall asleep during Giants Cowboys, or don't watch it, or just eat during Giants Cowboys, I wouldn't blame you.
Well, that's
one
the best way
bit.
To do it, right? You pregame a little bit with the Lions game.
Eat a little early.
Yeah, you eat a little early. By the time the Cowboy game comes around, you're probably day drunk anyways. And then you get some dessert. You pass out somewhere in the second quarter. You don't have to watch that crap. And when you wake up, you're in line for Dolphins, Packers, and probably another round of food.
All right. They are out for blood in St. Helens. I'll tell you that next on In the News. Here is Schultze with SportsCenter. All right. Welcome back. Joey Harrington next hour. We're done for the rest of the week after this show, so you better listen hard.
Enjoy it while you can.
We'll be back Monday, though.
I know. So you don't have to miss us then.
It is currently November 27, 2024. It is time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to report to you a local news bit that you can use.
Ooh, okay.
The Blazers are leading 36-28.
I know. Go figure, right?
In Indiana.
Can I also point out that whatever these city jerseys that Indiana's wearing, they're just god-awful.
Don't like them?
I don't even know what they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I don't.
Pretty sure the Blazers are like 5-6 against the spread the last six games, man. It's pretty crazy.
ATS?
Yeah.
You betting the Zers?
Oh, I've been betting the Zers.
You
not
the
like
Zers tonight?
Everything about the Zers, but usually to cover the spread. And there's a sneaky one. I'll just give this out.
Oh.
Timani Kamara.
Oh, boy. Schultz, he's like, play. I don't know if I should do this, but I'm going to.
Well, because I've gone 5-6 on this.
Hell yeah, you have.
Timani Kamara. Points, rebounds, assists, combos. They're offering pretty even money. Most books are at like a 17. And he's scoring 10, 12 a game. And he makes it up usually with assists and rebounds.
Schultz didn't want to get it out because that right there may affect his line going forward. Vegas is like, oh my God.
Well, they're listening to me.
They're onto it.
Oh, wait, is that the Jordan Schultz? Oh, no, that's just some chubby kid. Okay, no, that's not the real one. Nobody cares.
You know Jordan Schultz, the Jordan Schultz that you changed your name to Schultzy for?
Yeah.
Because you compete with him? Did you know that's Howard Schultz's kid?
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
He is.
The Starbucks? Yeah. Like Howard Schultz?
Yeah. That's his son.
He's a Nepo baby. I think I bitched about that specifically on this show.
I want to be a Nepo
baby. Yeah, that sounds like a little bit of sour grapes. He's pretty good at what he does.
Schultz, you're just upset that you're not from that Schultz family.
His wedding present was a $4.2 million high-rise.
Again, that sounds like jealousy.
You're just bitter.
It's not jealousy. What I'm saying is he got to the point that he is in because his daddy made the phone call.
Schultz,
and then his daddy made the phone call.
How do you know that? Jealousy.
You don't know that.
This is the definition of jealousy.
I want his story.
He's never told it. I wonder why.
Maybe Howard told him, hey.
Sure, we'll get a book from Jordan.
Go get your own job.
Sure, we'll get a book from Jordan Schultz about this struggle that he fought through in sports media get to the top. My God.
I did not know of Jordan Schultz's, Schultze, a.k.a. Schultze's, hatred for one NFL reporter, Jordan Schultz.
Just know, Schultze, that the quarter zip of jealousy is an ugly outfit no matter who wears it.
You're right, but how would you feel? If y'all wanted to do your job like me and then you saw somebody with, it's Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik hosting a national radio show, it would be pretty torture.
Listen, man, Suk's right. This is an attitude that will not serve you ever. So let it go. You can't control it.
No.
Let's put on the church. Mariner jersey of optimism instead. And,
That's right.
Yep.
They signed, what's his name?
Drew Pomeranz. Yeah. Minor league.
Oh, they did?
They signed Blake Snell? Oh, wait. No.
Oh.
No, that wasn't.
Only the Dodgers got him.
Juan Soto at LA in 3, 2, and 1.
In the news brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today's Blackout Wednesday because everybody likes to party.
Woo! Biggest drinky day of the year.
Yeah, right before Thanksgiving. And then we also have National Craft Jerky Day.
Oh.
Do you ever eat Kraft jerky?
Yeah, I love all kinds of jerky.
You ever have alligator jerky?
No, I had some duck jerky like a month or two ago, and it was, I never had duck jerky, dynamite. Although that may have been more duck pepperoni. I kind of put pepperoni and jerky in the same category, and I probably shouldn't.
Okay. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, they mean business out in St. Helens, man.
Oh, boy.
They are...
Stuff's getting hot.
The pitchforks are out. And rightly so. I mean, they...
It's not good.
Yeah. I mean, they had the two teachers sexually assaulting kids.
They want blood.
And the principal knew about it. And now this latest report is that the principal, her name is Dr. Katie Wagner...
Turned herself in.
St. Helens High School principal... has turned herself in to the sheriff's office a day after she was indicted on criminal charges. So the people there are not backing down.
Yeah.
They're going after her.
Criminal mistreatment and four counts of official misconduct. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I guess it's just that she was told of...
Didn't do anything.
Of some of these wrongdoings. And sat on it.
Yeah.
And so they're saying, hey.
You can't do that.
You have to protect the kids.
If you're an educator, and this is the whole like Joe Paterno type stuff. If you're an educator and someone comes to you and is like, hey, this is going on. And you're like, meh. Apparently that's not just like one of those, it's up to you, like a discretionary thing. No, that's against the law. So old Doc Wagner is in some trouble.
The St. Helens School District said in a statement that it has launched an independent third-party investigation to thoroughly and impartially determine what occurred and why.
Now, to be fair, old Dr. Wagner has pled not guilty.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I would
mean,
too.
Well, I mean, you know, she get her day
in
court.
I bet she's stunned.
Well, you know? It's shocking to me whenever we see these sorts of things. And look, we don't know who knew what and when, but clearly... People knew that things were going on and no one did anything. And that always stuns me when we find out that, like child rape is being thrown out there. And when people are like, you know what? That's a problem. I do this all the time. That's a problem for future Sukanic. I'll tell you what. If someone comes to me and is like, hey, someone that I'm overseeing and that's the accusation. No, that's a problem for now, Suk. That's present Sukanic. You can't kick that one down the road. And yet it happens all the time.
So she is out on bail.
Yeah.
And she's going to fight it.
Yeah. They're going to find out what occurred and why. And my guess is they will now get to the bottom of this because people are getting arrested.
They're saying final report will be complete in 45 to 60 days.
And I'm guessing that it won't be the St. Helens school that will be investigating itself. I'm guessing this will.
Well, like I said, it's a third-party independent investigation. And the findings will be released to the public.
Yeah. Look, none of these people are safe. And my guess is there's probably another couple people that some heads are going to roll. There's no way it was you know, the teachers and the one principal. Yeah, this was probably it's probably an ugly little concave here that was happening.
More often than not, multiple people knew.
Yeah.
And they just didn't say anything. Or it was, well, I heard about it, but I didn't really act on anything.
Yeah, and believe me, people start ratting each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, when the ship starts sinking, the rats are going to scurry and we're going to start pointing fingers.
Local official threatened with a bomb.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's next on The Fan. All right, this is In the News, November 27, 2024. You know, Sunday is December.
Is that December 1st?
Yep.
It is just, this year has flown by.
Well, November has flown by.
I know.
In my opinion.
It's the whole thing. I'm like, what? Seems a little weird.
But we have a bomb threat.
We've had several bomb threats across this fine land of ours.
Like real ones?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question because I'll read you the statement from Lori Chavez Dreamer.
Yes.
She is from Happy Valley out there.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her race to get in the House, but... Trumpy picked her for his cabbie. And so she said the following. Last night, my family and I were targeted with a pipe bomb threat at our Oregon home.
Yeah.
Thanks to the quick response of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, we are safe. Now I'm going to put a pin in the statement for a moment and ask a question.
Sure.
What does that mean? Does that mean... There was a bomb, and they came out and defused the bomb?
I've read multiple things on that asking the exact same question. The only thing that I've read on this is the Clackamas County Sheriff's confirmed a threat.
So they were safe all along, and she's overstating it?
I don't know.
It sounds like they were called, and this was brought to the attention of law enforcement.
And then they case the joint and say, hey, you're fine, you're good.
That's what I would guess, but that's just a guess.
So they could mean one of two. My guess is if a pipe bomb was indeed found, they would have stated that a pipe bomb was found.
Right.
The fact that you confirm the threat simply means that the sheriff's office did confirm that someone said, hey,
yeah,
I'm going to blow
but
you up.
But she's insinuating that, yeah, boy, the quick work of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office is the only reason we're safe. I don't know that that's entirely true.
I don't know if that's entirely true either. But
so continuing on, she says, we deeply appreciate their dedication to protecting our community, especially as the Thanksgiving holiday approaches. This kind of violence harms not just the intended targets, but entire communities. It is an unacceptable way to express opposition, and it will not deter President Trump and the team he has assembled from doing the work on behalf of the American people.
Ooh, well, I got a statement from the FBI giving a little more clarity.
Okay, what do we got?
Because there were three...
There were others.
And so...
Other of his cabinet picks.
Yes, of his cabinet picks.
And he's been getting death threats.
Yes. Well, and someone did try to... Well, someone didn't try. Someone did shoot him.
Hey, I bring up... We were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you find it odd... So Trump was almost murdered.
Yes.
Do you find it odd that someone died there and they don't ever say a thing about that person?
No, they had a rally there like a couple weeks later, and then like he kissed his uniform and all that, and then it just kind of went away. So
no one ever says a thing about that guy.
No.
That died.
Yeah, some dude was just sitting in there
died.
And he took one in the head.
Yeah.
So this is three senior law enforcement officials briefed on the incident. So they're calling these SWATings.
Yeah, where, they go in and they make sure there's no real threat.
Yeah, so the incident involved multiple Trump allies and multiple FBI sources said that these were not credible threats. No devices or physical threats were found, and some of the threats may have come in over social media. The threats did not involve U.S. Secret Service protectees such as Trump or Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. Said it is aware of numerous bomb threats and swatting incidents targeting incoming administration nominees and appointees, and they're working with our law enforcement partners to take all potential threats, and blah, blah, blah. But yes, no, doesn't sound like anyone posted a note to like a front door. No devices were found. This coming from
the
FBI.
Well, I would just like to state that I believe that the Secretary of Karens, Lori Chavez Dreamer, has issued a misleading statement.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, it's... how do I want to phrase this? I gotta be careful.
Ahoy!
This can be used as positive press for you, right? It demonizes, a side. It kind of builds you up. You get a chance to praise law enforcement, and you lean into it a little bit. How about that?
Yeah, her campaign manager was salivating when they saw the opportunity to put out a statement and to craft it in a certain positive way.
Yeah, because it's the idea of, like, I'm so dangerous to the establishment, and so, you know, and the loonies on the other side, and, you know.
I like loonies.
Yeah. The loonies.
But she's fine. So
she's fine.
I do knew that.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for In the News for November
27, 2024. Hey, DeAndre looks happy to be playing basketball. That's breaking news.
Well, that's what happens. You get to take like 3 weeks off because of a finger.
I don't think he does look happy.
He was just really excited, high-fiving before he took that latest free throw. So
that guy.
He's ready to dominate.
The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.